Hello everyone, you're listening to the CMO Stories podcast episode 4. My name is Yuri Bilast, I'm your podcast host, and today's guest is Rachel James. Welcome Rachel, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you so much for having me.
I see some snow on the background there, so...
Yes, we did have a little bit of snow, we had a little bit, so we're holding on to what remains. That'll probably be all that we get in the UK for the winter, so holding on to these last little bits of ice that we've got outside.
So yeah, you're in the UK, you just mentioned. Tell us a bit about yourself. Who are you? So you live in the UK, but where, and what are your passions?
Yeah, so I live in the UK. I moved back here a couple of years ago. I was previously living in Dubai. Before that, I did a stint in Asia, but decided I wanted to get back onto some home soil. So that's where I've been for the past couple of years. Obviously, I did the pandemic from home from the UK. So I think we moved home at a good time. So, you know, was able to have access to family and stuff when we were out of lockdowns. And so right now I'm working for Applaud as their marketing director.
And when did you join Applaud, or how many time ago was it?
So I joined Applaud in February 2020, which is a really interesting time to join the company, right? Because at that point in time, we knew about the coronavirus. Nobody was taking it that seriously. It was kind of like, there's this thing, there's a lot of media hype, but I think it's all going to be fine. And we had these amazing marketing plans. And then, you know, 2-3 weeks later, we realized, oh, this is actually going to be a very different year for us and a very strange time to join a company. But it's worked out for the best for sure.
Yeah, it is. Times are challenging, eh? But perhaps before we continue, what is exactly the activity of your company? What services or products are you offering?
Yeah, sure. So we're a SaaS company. So we're an employee experience solution. So basically, we're employee obsessed. And so we think that when you're at work, you should have the same technology experiences that you have when you're at home. So, you know, if you think about the experience you might have as a consumer when you're choosing something to watch on Netflix or Spotify or ordering something on Amazon, and everything's so easy and intuitive and slick. That's quite different to the experiences that many of us have with our work technology. I think everybody can kind of think of an example or think of a story about a time when, you know, they were trying to book leave and they had to put it in 3 different calendars and an Excel sheet and send an email to their line manager and somebody in HR, and it's just very, very clunky, or they get given, you know, the system and you need a whole training course to be able to work it. And our kind of ambition as an organization is to really change that and to make work technology as consumer grade as the stuff that we use at home.
It sounds exciting. Because you were also at Web Summit. Was this for a special reason that you guys were there?
Yeah, so I mean, I was at Web Summit really to soak up as much of that amazing marketing content that I could, but also obviously just to network with other marketers and just other people working in scale-up businesses, you know, just to hear about some of their challenges, some of their goals, how businesses was going, and just kind of get some of that motivation and inspiration. I mean, I certainly walked away with that. I don't know, what about you? You were there as well.
Like, yeah, I was there as well. Yeah, I was there. Also, you know, what I like with these conferences are actually the connections that you can make. And those 3 days, they are over before you know it. And actually, that was one of the reasons that I started this podcast, that I connected with you and with other CMOs, marketing directors, because, you know, it shouldn't stop after Web Summit. I like to build community and with like-minded people and people that you meet at Web Summit and that also are open to connect and to come on podcasts like you.
I think for me, even more so this year than other years or other events, I think just because, you know, it was one of the first big events I'd certainly been to since the pandemic. And there was just such an amazing energy there. I think that everyone was just so grateful to be able to talk to people face to face, you know, meet real human beings. It was amazing. I just thought it was great. So yeah, I definitely came away really buzzed from it.
Was it your first Web Summit?
It was my first Web Summit,
So for me, it was, I don't remember exactly, but perhaps the fourth or the fifth time already. And then, you know, it's always happy to be there. I think the last time that I was there, so it was in 2019, there were like 70,000 people. Now there were like 40,000, which was still a lot of people.
Still a lot. Yeah. Yeah. The most people I've seen in one place for a long time.
And love the energy and so on. So, for me, it was about connection, of course. Also get some inspiration, get ideas from others. Also talk about challenges, because everyone has their challenges. And that's also one of the things I wanted to ask you. Because, of course, you joined the company also at a strange time. What were some of the challenges that you had to overcome, or that your company had to overcome the last, year and a half?
Yeah, it's a really great question. I think it's a really interesting one for us specifically, kind of because of the sector that we're in and the industry that we're in. I mean, when I joined the organization, like I said, coronavirus was kind of on the periphery, but wasn't something that we were taking that seriously. And I was just really excited about the technology. I thought it was a really great product, and thought that one of my challenges would be creating demand for that product. And I thought, you know, that was going to be one of the things I was going to have to tackle. I was going to have to figure out what the pain points were that resonated with, you know, the problems that we solve. But actually what kind of happened was the pandemic hit, and suddenly HR technology was one of the hottest spaces to be in. And suddenly our challenge was no longer kind of convincing people. It was just reaching those people. Because, you know, we were in a really, really hot space. So that really changed. We had to pivot really quickly. And I think one of the challenges that I had to overcome personally was just being really, really agile. We had to kind of throw the plans out the window. So I think throughout 2020 and 2021, you just didn't know what was going to be possible within the next month, within the next 2 months. And I'm thinking about some customers or some potential prospects were a bit cagey with their budget because they didn't know how their year was going to go. So you kind of had to adapt to that. As marketers, I think one of our great lead gen tools is always events. And we didn't know, can we go to this event? Is that event going to run? Is the virtual event going to be as good as the physical event? And so I think for me, I just had to learn to be really adaptable and really agile, which is quite counterintuitive to kind of how I am as a person and how I've always approached marketing. But interestingly, that was actually one of the topics at Web Summit that I found really interesting, though, is that the 1 year plans are kind of dead now. You kind of have to work more in quarters. You have to work more kind of month to month, which I think has been a really great, really great learning curve for me.
Actually, yeah, for myself, I've been doing that for years already. So planning for, let's say, in quarters for 3 months.
Right.
Because,
okay.
And then instead of 1 year, I always take a few years, you know, see what is sort of the bigger picture, okay. I would say, because 1 year, it's like 12 months. You can do a lot in 12 months, but still it's it's only 12 months on the other side, on the short term. Yeah, I think in 3 months you can do a lot, not in a few days, but in 3 months. So that's just the way that I do it. But for every company or business, it's different. It depends also, like you say, how agile you need to be.
So
if you would say there is one big lesson that you've learned the last period, what would it be?
Yeah, so I think one big lesson that I've learned would be that it would be to plan less. To be more agile, and that's given us that's created a lot of opportunity for us as well as a business and as a team. Whereas I think often previously in previous roles, I found myself in a position of saying no to maybe if somebody's had a new idea that they've wanted to execute, like, no, we can't do that because we've already set our budget out for the year, or like, no, sorry, you know, whatever, we've already got a really busy Q3, so there's no space for that. Actually, it's created this opportunity where we're saying, well, yeah, why not? Like, let's try it. Let's hear it out. Like, we do have space for that. We do have budget for that. That is actually a possibility. And so I think it's actually created this really good energy. I mean, I'm still adapting to kind of not knowing what we're going to be doing in 6 months time. That still like gives me a bit of anxiety. But, you know, I think it's actually made us much stronger as a team and as an organization as well. It's made us communicate better. It's made us work better across departments. So I really liked that outcome.
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? Because it's changing all the time. So how do you also have like indicators in place to measure what is going on and to try to predict what should you do next? Or
Well, I mean, we still have our targets and our KPIs, right? They haven't changed. We still have our company objectives. We still have, you know, we're still all working towards the same goals. And those goals haven't changed. You know, the objectives haven't changed. And we still need to deliver against those objectives. I think what's really changed is the activity that we've put in place to reach those objectives. But I still have a laser focus on those numbers. And, you know, so I still will know kind of end of Q1, are we tracking ahead? Are we tracking behind? Do we need to do more of this? Do we need to do less of that? But again, kind of 2021 compared to 2022, where I would have been thinking in 2020, well, the autumn events are going to be back on. So if I'm behind on my lead gen, it's fine because the autumn events will be a great booster for me. In 2021, I thought I can't rely on anything because I've just seen that, you know, I've just seen a whole year of things just changing all the time. So instead, we've just taken a slightly different approach to that and making sure that we're always tracking where we need to be tracking throughout. So yeah, just again, a slightly different approach.
Yes, yeah, and I understand that events are really important for you and your company. So you talked about these virtual events. Is there been a big difference for when it comes to results for your company coming out of those virtual events comparing to the physical events?
Yeah, I think it's a really good question. I mean, I've always really liked events in working in B2B. I've always thought they're a great place, you know, A, just to kind of make connections, like we were just talking about earlier, people, making connections, especially if, you know, you've got customers or prospects that it's not easy to see all the time. It just really helps relationship building, even if you can't tangibly attach an ROI to something like that. I think it's just really, really important. But for me, with that in mind, I found that the virtual events don't really deliver against those kind of objectives. Like, I think, yes, you can get some really great content on virtual events. So from that perspective, they work well. And I think if you're genuinely, if there's a buyer that's genuinely in the market for what you're selling, then they could probably work quite well. But I just think there's no comparison, the virtual events against the physical events for me. Like, they're just not the same. And actually, I think, like, at the start of 2020, people were really positive about attending these kind of things. And they were, you know, kind of went into these lockdowns thinking, you know, I'm going to learn as much as I can. I'm going to really make an effort. And I think where we are now, the Zoom fatigue is real. Like, I know so many people that will avoid Zoom at all costs. I mean, I don't know, like, how have you found it, kind of these virtual events and physical events?
Yeah, so for me, because it's actually the same as you say. So if you have virtual events, for instance, Web Summit, you know, when I was sitting at my desk and watching, there was a possibility to go from one session to the other without losing time. Because at Web Summit, you know, if you have one speech, and then you need to walk like 500 10 meters
minutes
to go to
the
It's not possible to catch all the presentations at Web Summit, the physical event in Lisbon.
Yeah,
but virtually, of course, that's more easy to do that. Also to take notes and so on. But on the other side, you miss the actual, the connections. So that's for me, I really like to have the energy to come back from these events with energy. It's like you say, Zoom fatigue, if you're all the time in front of your screen. It's a bit,
It's harder, I think, to engage as well. And I mean, I think even personally, if you remember back to like the start of lockdowns, people were doing like Zoom quizzes and Zoom drinks all that kind of stuff. And now I'm like, absolutely not. I never want to do another Zoom drink in my life, you know, let alone kind of sit for 4 or 5 hours and listen to the talks. It's like a lot harder to do it in that way. And I think I learned, I don't know about you, but I think I learned as much just from the conversations that I had with people, like over lunch, over drinks, at dinner, as much from those people as I did from the amazing speakers that they had on stage as well. So I just think you miss all of that stuff with virtual events.
Indeed, you miss it. Yeah, that's exactly the same thing. Why, you know, it was a good alternative.
Yeah, it was a good alternative.
I think it's we're good, ready. Yeah, that people, that, because I already used Zoom before everyone knew Zoom.
Right, okay.
And then, you know, like on your site now, I saw that it was snowing in Belgium.
Yeah.
I remember a time that it was really, you know, they said traffic would be a hell because there would be a lot of snow, but in the morning it was still like nothing to see. And I said to my client, you know what, let's do a Skype meeting instead of me going on traffic, because I know that there will be, you know, real problems on the road today. And then I really needed effort to convince the client to do it on Skype.
Yeah.
And now today that would not be an issue anymore.
Now it's just the norm. Now it's like it's expected. Norm, like, if you say let's do it in person, everyone's like, what?
It is. Also, you know, I like on events, I also gave Instagram courses and LinkedIn courses, but really workshops. And I did this before COVID, of course, in a classroom. And then I could really connect with people. We could first have like dinner and then connect. And then, and then I could really help them. And after that, in the COVID period, in the beginning there, they didn't cancel the courses, but it was online. Mm-hmm. And for some people, they liked it because they could, you know, not show up and still watch a recording, but I didn't like that. But on the other side, and they could review it. So therefore, then it was good because they could really stop and watch the end, do the replay.
Yeah.
But for me, for the connections, I saw really that people were tired at the end of their day.
Yeah. And, and it's so tempting, isn't it, to like check your email quickly or just like, do something else. So
it is same as with these events online. And, you know, you're just doing, okay, they call you, something happens and you get distracted. Yeah. On the other side, if you are at the event, you're just there. And then
You're present. And I think it makes such a difference. But, you know, equally, I think it was a good challenge. Like we talked about challenges earlier, but I think for me, like you said, it was always a staple of my marketing calendar. I was like, right, what are the big events that we're going to do this year? What are the small events that we're going to do this year? Okay, great. And that would be one of the first things I would lay out when I was doing my plan. Yeah. And suddenly when that was all taken away from me, you know, I had to be really creative and you know, it kind of felt like the safety net had been taken away. And I was like, okay, well, I don't have any of that guaranteed activity where I know, right, that's going to help me hit my revenue target, that's going to help me hit my opportunity target or whatever. So it was kind of like, you know, I had to really challenge myself and I had to kind of really get creative and take different approaches to things. Which was hard in year one of a job when I didn't have that winning formula yet. This works, that doesn't. And there had been no marketing department before me. I was building that marketing department. I was marketing employee number one. So there was no data, nothing to kind of help me out. But it ended up being a really great year for us. We ended up doing some really creative marketing. And I think it's made me better as a marketer, having that stuff taken away. I'm grateful for the events to be coming back. But at least, you know, I've really pushed myself out of my comfort zone.
Okay, I think. But, you know, event is really important for you, but let's talk a bit about social media, because what I did when COVID hits was I was one of the happy, lucky few to have LinkedIn Live very early.
Cool. So nice.
I did LinkedIn Lives already, you know, all the time, and I connected with people, and that was really great to do that.
Yeah.
But I was wondering, what is your favorite channel, or what is the favorite channel for your company when it comes to social media?
Yeah, well, again, I think it was really interesting to see how social media has evolved over the last 18 months in the B2B space specifically, because I mean, LinkedIn, I think, is always going to be probably our most important channel, though Twitter's big for us as well. And we do bits and pieces on Facebook. But I think I had always, when it had come to LinkedIn, and especially when you're managing kind of your company brand as well as your personal brand on LinkedIn, we'd always wanted everything to be really polished, you know, get everything signed off by brand before we put anything out there, make sure, you know, all of your videos are amazing quality, they've been edited, you know, again, months of planning to put stuff out there, you know, planning our social media calendar kind of 3 months in advance. And then I think that the pandemic really changed all of that. You know, suddenly it was really acceptable to be filming an off-the-cuff video on your iPhone, in your kitchen, you know, just really kind of laying out what you were thinking at that particular moment in time. I actually think it became a lot more authentic, and we're still there now. And I think it's great to see that evolution, and that where we are now, that everyone's kind of companies are being forced to be more authentic, individuals are being more authentic, and it's actually now what our customers and our buyers come to expect. So I think that's been a really interesting change that we've seen.
That was also a word that I was going to use, authentic, because that's actually, if it's not polished, people see, okay, of course, you should show, when you show yourself or your company on social media, there is a certain brand image that they want people to recognize. But if it's authentic, it's the same as you compare this with pictures. You take a real picture, not polished, from everyday life at a company or somewhere else.
Yeah.
Compare that to a stock photo where people see that it's not real.
Yeah.
So it's, you get really on social media, people engage when, you know, they recognize themselves in there, or it's, and it's real. They believe it, because if they don't believe it, then it looks like, I would say, promo or publicity, or it will have less impact.
And again, I think the funny thing is that for years we've been talking in marketing about how do we build trust, how do we build credibility, and probably have gone about it in all the wrong ways. And I think what's actually really kind of bridged some of those gaps around trust and credibility is what's happened over this past year, where people have not had everything go through their PR agency, where stuff has just been happening in that moment, and it's real people and real opinions and real views that are coming across. Suddenly that trust is really starting to build. Not for everyone, obviously, there are exceptions, but many brands and many individuals. So it's been great.
And then, something also that I wanted to ask you, events, social media, perhaps there are other stuff that you're doing on the marketing side, but what has really been like a campaign or a tool that you're using, or let's say a tactic of something that you would like to share with our listeners, something that has worked?
Yeah, sure. So actually we were at the B2B Marketing Awards last week, and we picked up an award for one of our campaigns, which was really, really cool.
Congrats.
Thank you. It was really exciting. We picked up one for, it's called the Digital Employee Experience Audit, which was a campaign that we ran over 2020 and 2021. And it's probably, we probably put so much energy and effort into this campaign because, we talked about earlier, because the events weren't there, we kind of refocused our efforts. It was a really cool campaign, actually, because, we're all about, like I said earlier, kind of being obsessed with the employee and giving value to them. And that's kind of what we want to do in our marketing as well, like make sure everything that we're putting out there is valuable to our audience. And so we did this digital employee experience audit, which was a kind of a 25 question survey that we invited senior HR leaders to fill out. And once they'd filled out the questionnaire, they got a personalized report at the other side of it, which gave them recommendations, things that, things that they could implement today, more strategic things that they could implement over a series of months. And it was really valuable to them. But what was great for us was that, we then had all these amazing trends that we could put out to market. We could version that into different content pieces, webinars. We could use it internally. Our sales team had this really great tool that they could use internally. And when some of those did turn into sales conversations, the sales team were able to be kind of hyper-personalized right from the offset, because they knew, these are your challenges, like this is what we can help you solve, or we can't actually help you solve any of this stuff because it's not what we do. And so it just made for like really great relationship building right from the offset. And so we were really happy that that campaign picked up an award last year, and we've decided we're definitely going to be running it again this year. We're going to update it and run it again this year because it did so well for us. I think there are loads of opportunities for us to kind of transform that campaign, do it on a big scale, but also do it on kind of like a one-to-one ABM type scale. So we're going to be running that on a few different channels over the next 12 months.
It's always really, nice. It gives a good feeling to have this recognition that you get these awards and these for the
things
you're doing. And also if it works, I also, when you do a campaign, you never know what will happen, what will come out of it. But then if it works, then really, that's one of the things I like about marketing, that you see that it works as you plan it to be. It's not always like that, but when it happens, it gives a good feeling.
I know, it's great. And I think that's one of the great things about marketing, is you can really get that serotonin, right? Like when you put something out there and you see it's working, you're like, okay, great. Yeah. That's great. Well, we live in this digital world where we can constantly be optimizing all the time, do more of that, less of that, put that here, do that there.
Cool. And sometimes, of course, it depends on the business that you are in. Sometimes it takes more time to see the results that it's really working, because then you can hesitate, is it really working? But on the other side, sometimes it's really quick. It's before you know that things work. And it's like, wow, this is a... The other day for a client, they wanted to hire someone new, and I helped them to use LinkedIn, to get their their job opening out there. I was just doing the meeting with the HR director, and I was just, you know, stopping, ending the Zoom meeting, and they already had two applicants already on the...
Oh, no and way, then, that's awesome.
Yeah, sometimes it's really fast that it's happening, and then it's you're happy because they say, okay, we do something, and it really works fine, so...
Yeah, and that's, and you can see that right in front of your eyes. Do you know what, I often find that when something isn't working, and I let it run on too long, you know, if a certain channel isn't performing how I thought it was going to perform, it's always because I'm ignoring the data. Because if you intuitively feel like, whatever, Google Ads should be working, but it's not, and you've done all the things, like you've changed the audience, you've changed the copy, I usually find it's like my own bias that like lets me run it for too long. So I'm like, I can't be wrong, it must, this should be working. And then
sometimes it's, you know, sometimes there are things that, okay, you it's always, you want to explain why something is working or doesn't work. Yeah. And sometimes you have some for one of the other clients, we did a campaign towards students, and we had like this idea, students that were going to start a company, that actually was a target audience. So and they thought that students, they finish their exams and they will want to start something directly. But this was the premises, that was the idea. But then the campaign in July didn't work. But then we didn't stop the campaign. We let it run in August. And in August, suddenly it started really to run fine, because then students, I guess, they took a break in July.
Yeah,
and then in August. Yeah. But it was like something that, okay, if you don't try it, you don't know it. But then after you see the results, that, okay, perhaps this is logical. But at that time, you don't know how they think.
It's so true. You just don't know what the factors are that are actually playing a part. So
right. Yeah. So, thank you, Rachel, for having been on my podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Happy that you've been there, that you've accepted. there will be lots of more episodes with people like you, for people like you. So perhaps, Rachel, how can people, you talked about LinkedIn, but is that the best place that people can connect with you?
I think LinkedIn's the best place that people can connect with me. I'm Rachel James on LinkedIn. You can find me or via our company page, which is Applaud. You can find me there. So please do reach out. Please do connect with me. I'm always happy to talk marketing with anyone.
Great. We will also, like I promised you, build a community. So we are still in the early episodes, I would say. This is episode 4. There will be a lot of more episodes. We will build this CMO community. And if you as a listener, you're interested to come also on the podcast like Rachel did and talk to me about marketing, just send me an email at my email address, yuri@efficade.com, or just find me on LinkedIn, connect with me there and send me a message. And if you want to be part of the community, of course, that's also a good reason to get into touch with me. So thank you for now. Thank you, Rachel. Thank you. And let's meet for the next episode. Bye-bye.
Bye.